Giving honor to God, first of all, this morning to allow me to be here. And you might have seen me come up with a can of soda in my hand. And I went downstairs because I guess this morning I got so busy I took my insulin and didn't eat breakfast. And if you all are diabetic, you know when you take insulin, you got to eat. You got to have put something. So God was there. He at Pepsi, I'm glad you had something in the refrigerator downstairs. So, well, you know, I told Laura that I was going to speak. And I'm glad she said speak because I don't preach. I'm not a preacher. I don't claim to be a preacher. But I am a messenger. We all are messengers unto God. God has made it to where we all should go out and testify on his behalf. I got to thinking about, you know, will a man rob God? And then he says, how will he rob me? And he says, tithing and offerings. Well, we know here at this church, tithing is not a problem with us. A lot of us may not know what offering is, though. See, your offering can be outside of the church. Your offering can be like you see someone needing help across the street, and you help them going across the street. That's offering there. You're doing what God wants us to do. So I thought maybe this morning we ought to talk about just how can a man rob God. And that's a lot by not doing how God has given us all senses and all abilities to do things outside of us. You know, I look at the TV ministers and, you know, planting seeds for $1,000. You know, I'm going to pray for God to give you a blessing. And I got to thinking, since when did God need any money? You know, God owns everything. And, you know, then I got to thinking about planting seed. And I told Corrine, I said, well, most of the people at our church, they know something about farming. And if you plant a good seed in bad soil, guess what? It ain't going to grow. So if you think that you can buy your way into heaven by having someone tell you, if you need a blessing, give me $1,000 and I'll make sure that God give you a blessing. You can't buy your way into heaven. And then the other night, I happened to turn on the television, and I guess he wasn't getting enough $1,000, so he said, I need 1,000 of people to give me $58. So it came down to $58, and once again, I thought, okay, so now you're making a bargain with God. You know, and I didn't know you could bargain with God. God is a man of his word. So I got to thinking, a man will rob God. And how will he rob him? In tithes and in offerings. And a lot of ministers, we know that it takes money. And God said, how will you rob me? You rob me with tithes and offerings. But bring all your monies and tithes into the storehouse. And then he said, I will open up a window from heaven. If you turn from your wicked ways, I will open up a window from heaven that will be too great for you to receive. So it tells me there and then, you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy anything from God. But you can rob God by not using what he's given you on a daily basis. Anybody that have anything at all that they know that they can share with somebody else, no matter what it is. You may not think it's the most of all. You know, we got a coach back there. He gave his all in all to his coach. He shared. That was a blessing that God had given him that he went on and shared his blessing. So there was a way that he was sharing his blessings there. You know, for someone at this young lady's age still playing the piano, That's a blessing there that she's given back, you know, that what God had given her. And it's a ministry unto God. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be someone that knows everything in order to show God that you appreciate what he's given to you. So Will a man rob God? I think a lot of us do it, and I said us. We do it probably more than we think we do. When we don't share what God has given to us with those that's less fortunate than us. You know, when he said if you just were two or three gathered, touching and agreeing in my name, in the midst I'll be there also. You know, touching and agreeing. Now, we're now looking for a leader here at this church. We're looking for someone to pastor us. You know, there's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. We're looking for someone that have the ability and the skill to pastor a small church. Someone is willing to give his all in all. Now, we may have to end up giving a little too, because some pastors may not just come in and look at that clock and say, I got to be out of here by, I only got 30 minutes. Because you can squash the your blessings by putting a time limit on the message that he gives or she gives. So we may have to let him go over 5 minutes. I'm just saying that, you know, because I know a couple of the ministers that we've had here, they gave very, very good messages, but they were long messages. But that's what God put on their heart, I'm sure. I don't think it was to impress us as a church. I think that's what God had actually put on their heart to give to us. So I'm saying that we need to maybe think that we don't want to rob God ourselves for ourselves by putting a time limit on you got to do it and we want out of here by 11:30. By 11:30, if you're going to go out and start giving what God has gave to us, ministering into the world, then that's something different. But I really enjoyed a couple of the pastors, you know, that was here that did an excellent job. But once again, getting back to, will a man rob God? Oh, Lord, yes. You know, so many people falsely has come and said, you know, if you come to my church, I'll do this. If you come to my church, I'll do that. God gave me the ability to, we have a church over on the east side there that was known for making marriages. So this pastor got people to come to his church and he became a matchmaker at his church. But at the same time, the only way that he was going to be a matchmaker at his church, you also had to come and start paying probably more than what your tithe was. And so he was robbing God right there by false information until, if you need a husband, you need to come to this church. And I won't name the name of the church. And by the way, it wasn't a Baptist church either, though. But if you want a husband or you want a wife, come to this church. And I'll make sure that you get you a good wife or a husband out of this church. But there's a cost that come along with it. You know, right there, that's robbing God. And a lot of times we think of the passage, will a man rob God, is just actually taking stuff from the church itself. And taking from the church is robbing God if you physically take from the church. You know, I did a little counseling back in the in the 80s, when crack in the neighborhood was so bad. So I had a lot of people that was coming out of prison, and I was doing counseling. And I asked the young men that was there, I said, I'd like for you all to think about, before you come into the sessions tonight, to think of the worst thing that you've ever done that you know God wasn't pleased with. And I can remember one of the young men said, well, Mr. McDaniel, I'd like to share my story with you. It crack had me so bad. I got a phone call in Los Angeles, where I lived, with my dad. My dad was in the hospital. And he called and said, if you want to see your dad, he's on his last hour. This young man came up. He said he drove up to the hospital, parked in the parking lot. He said, before I go up and see my dad, I'm going to hit this crack one more time. while he was in the parking lot on that crack. He went up to the room and said, I'm here to see my dad. And he said, you're too late. Your dad passed about 10 minutes ago. It's too late. And he got to thinking, you know, God took my dad from me while I was enjoying myself. And I said to myself, God didn't take your dad from you. You decided to have your pleasures over God. So you can't fault God for it. And I thought that was one of the worst things that could ever happen. And then one of the other young men in the group said, well, I got to tell you this. He said, I've robbed God. And I said, how'd you rob God? He said, my wife was a treasure of the church. And on Sunday, she would bring the money home and put it in the closet. And I knew where she put it. And wait to Monday to deposit it. And he said, this particular Sunday, I needed to have my crack. And I didn't have no money. So I got the money that she'd put in that closet. And I got that and I went out and bought my crack with it. And I said, you actually took money from the church? He said, yes, Mr. McDaniel, you asked for us to tell you the worst thing that we've done. And that was the worst thing. And he said, I said, do you really feel that you took the money from your wife? He said, no, I realize now that I took the money from the church. So can you rob God? Yeah, you can rob God, but at least he repented then. They were there to tell their stories of what they have done that God wasn't pleased with. So they before the sessions was over, all of them end up repenting. Actually, the young man that his father died, he ended up being a minister. It's just, you know, where I'm getting at is that I'm not a pastor. And if I had not used the ability to reach out to those young men at that time, I would have robbed God, because God had gave me that ability to conquer those fears that these young men had with the drugs that they were using. So there's so many different ways you can rob God, because God gives you the ability to do things, to reach out. Like say, someone crossing the street, they need help to go across the street, and you look and said, well, I'm not going to help them. You just robbed God, because God gave you the ability to help someone. And if you can't give what God, give back to what God has given to you, then you're robbing what he has gave to you. And so often do we think we go to different places and like ball games. We go to a ball game and we rush them through to get through the ball game, unless they go into overtime. Then if they go into overtime, we stay right there. So until the game is over with, because we want to see what the ending is going to bring. And that's where it ought to be in the church. We ought to stay right here and hear what thus says the Lord, if we know that it's been put on the preacher or the minister's mind to tell us what thus says the Lord. Let's stay there. Let's not rush God out. Because, you know, God says it for two or three together, touching and agreeing. But he also said in his name, he will be in the midst also. He said, when he said, I will open up a window and pour you out a blessing that it'd be too great to receive. And I definitely believe that. I believe God put me here at Boskydale for a reason. I got ordained as a Baptist deacon back in 1975. And I tell you, it was kind of funny. I don't mind sharing it with the church. I was still working out of East St. Louis, and I would come home on Sundays. And in our church there where I was going, they would put up the amount of money that each person gave. Every Sunday they would put it on the board. So then next Sunday you come and look. And of course, I was making good money, but I had the wrong motive for giving my money. I just wanted my name to be at the top of the list. And one of the younger men there in the church, they said, Chubby, of course, y'all that don't know, she knows, that's my nickname in the neighborhood. He said, Chubby, he said, I noticed you give quite a bit of money. I said, well, yeah, I got it, don't worry. He said, but do you give it for the right reason? I said, well, I like seeing my name at the top of the list. He said, that's the wrong reason. And I got to thinking, that is the wrong reason. If I was only given the money that I was given so I could be at the top of the list, and people would come and say, well, brother, well, I wasn't even a brother then. I was just a member of the church. Chubby McDaniel, he's given this much money. He's given that much money. That was the wrong reason. I had to have another young man to tell me, if you don't give from your heart, you might as well keep it in your pocket, because you're robbing God when you give it and you want to have praises behind what you're giving. You're not giving from your heart. You're giving from your billfold, but not from your heart. And that taught me a lesson. And then wasn't too long after that, I confessed and went into the teaching there. And I was then ordained a deacon, and I was a deacon up until the time that I came to Boskydale. So I learned a lesson about robbing God the hard way, you know, and I probably missed out a lot of blessings by doing that. You know, God bless you. God don't need our money. God owns everything. He owns all of the churches and everything on earth. He owns it. He doesn't need our money. What he need is from us to be people that believe that he will save us from all of our sins. And he said that, you know, I'll save you from your sins. And you just got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to give me back what I've given to you by helping somebody else. You know, you can't buy your way into heaven. No matter how hard you try, there's no way you can buy your way into heaven with money. The only way you can do it is, he said, you know, believe in me. If you believe in me and turn from your wicked ways, I will open up that window. And that not just pour you out a blessing, but on that day when you draw your last breath, you know that you got a place somewhere in God's kingdom. So will a man rob God? I'm a living witness, yeah. If you're doing it for the wrong reason, no matter what, you got to have it in your heart. And I said before, like planting seed, if you plant a good grain of seed into a land that's not fertile, it's not going to grow. It will sit there and actually rot. Is that right, Miss Sarah? All right. It's not going to grow. So we plant our seed into this church knowing that we are planting in good soil and fertile soil that it will grow. We may not have many in people in attendance, but the thing of it is when you leave this church, every Sunday morning you know that you've done the best that you can. You've been pleased in the eyesight of God, and that's the main thing. Have it in your heart to go out and help somebody else, no matter what it is. If it's just saying, you know, good morning to somebody that didn't think that you would even say good morning to them. But you got to know that God hears all prayers. And you can get on your knees and you can pray. You can be praying selfish prayers. But if you pray to God in the manner that you want to, not for yourself so much, but for others, he will hear and answer every prayer. He hear and answer your prayer anyhow. You know, we talked about God don't answer prayer. Yeah, God does answer prayer, because he said it in his word. I will hear and answer your prayers. And I had someone say, well, Brother McDaniel, you know, I asked God for this, I asked God for that, and he didn't answer my prayer. I didn't get it. I said, he did answer your prayer. God got answers. He got an answer, yes. He's got an answer, no. And he's got an answer, wait. He always, if he wouldn't answer prayer, he wouldn't have said it. If he said it, I believe it. Yeah, there's always the answer. And sometimes we ask for things that we know we don't need. Sometimes we ask for things that for other people, you know, that's going to hurt them. God's not going to honor that prayer. So we're robbing God, and we're putting God to the test that that we asked him. You know, there are so many times that you can go to different places, different churches and stuff, and you come out and say, well, you know, I didn't get nothing out of that service. Well, I had a saying when I was in New Zion. It's, church is like the bank. You can't go to First National Bank here in Carbondale and withdraw money out if you didn't put money in. And that's the same way with church. You can't come to the church on Sunday morning and then leave and say, well, I didn't get nothing out of that service today. Ask yourself, what did you put into that service today? If you didn't put nothing in it, that's why you didn't get nothing out of it. God will hear and answer every prayer. And we need to think about that. We are a small church, but we are a church that lean and depend on the Lord. We never want to be in that category that we're robbing God at all. And I do believe, and that's when I said, tithing is no problem, but ask yourself, are you doing the best you can with the ability that God has given you, for the talent that he's given you? Are you trying to help someone else along the way that will make their way into heaven? And if not, then guess what? You're robbing God. You're robbing God because he has given unto you the ability to do certain things to help somebody else. And that's the whole thing of it, is that we need to know that somebody else is still is better in this life because of the ability God has given to us to help them. So robbing God, most of the time we just think about money, but your talent as well. You know, your talent is what you have, and it doesn't cost anything to help somebody else across the street. And so often we find ourselves not wanting to do something because we don't like that person. Because that person may have a disability. That person may color their skin may not be the same color my skin. Let them go where their own people are. Their own people, you know, you hear that so much. God don't see color. All of us is God's people. All of us are trying to get to the same heaven. There is no separate heavens. You know, there's no heavens for the rich. There's no heavens separately from the poor. There's no heaven for the black or for the white. They're all in one heaven. And if we don't get that in our mind and know that God only has one heaven, and you're not going to make it there unless we turn from our wicked ways and give God our undivided attention and do the best that we can do while we yet have breath in our body and the ability to move around and do it. We don't want to end up robbing God unknowingly because nobody told me that the only way that you can rob God is financially, and that's not true. So will a man rob God? Yes. Have he robbed God? Yes. But you got to ask yourself that. Only you know. You know whether or not you've done all the ability that you have, that you helped somebody else. Even when you didn't want to, you still helped somebody else along the way. Money can be the root of all evil. Money is not evil, but when it's used or gotten in the wrong way, if used for the wrong purpose, it does become evil. But money itself is not evil. If it had been, God wouldn't have made it. So I know that's not exactly what I had planned on either. I got all them scriptures that I was going to read from, but I woke up this morning about 4 o'clock in the morning, and there was a minister preaching, and I heard him say, maybe they're preaching to their own God. He said, there is God of hope, there is God of faith, and then there is the God. God that we look forward to going to heaven with has the ability to own and everything. So a lot of us pick out our own God, you know, and that's who we're going to pray to. That's who we figure that's going to give us what we want. But then there's only one God, the one God that's going to get us to a seat in heaven. And that's the the God Almighty. So think about it. Like I said, it may not be the sermon that I had even to talk about, but for some reason it was on my heart to put it that way, that while we're looking for a minister or a pastor to lead us, let us look to heaven, which cometh our help. Let us ask God to put it on our mind to accept who he sends to lead us, that we'll be able to be comfortable with and go out and tell people, you know, we are a small church, but we are a God-fearing church. We are a church that love each other. Nobody leaves here fussing at each other. Sometimes it's good to be in a small crowd. Sometimes it's good to know everybody here, know everybody by name. My pastor wife, that Reverend Mack, that had been at New Zion, when her husband died, she moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and she said, "I can tell you the number I was in the church. My number was 1,552. They didn't know my name; they just knew my number." And to be in a church like that, and being a pastor's wife all them years in a little church like New Zion, she said, "I couldn't wait to come back home." So, you know, being in a mega church and you just become a number, that's not all what it's about. Like I said, we are a small church, but the thing of it is, we are a church, a God-fearing church, and we're looking for a God-fearing person to lead us from this day on. And let us all go in prayer. Don't leave it up to two or three people. Let us all go in prayer and get on our knees and ask God, please send us someone that's going to lead us in the right way, Father God, that will take us all and give us the tree, the right to the tree of life into heaven. So I'm sorry that it ain't what I had here, but now it's said, and I hope I said something that will help somebody else to know that when I leave this place, there's something I can do. I don't have to be you don't have to be a minister to go out and do it. I know some people that when you go into Snooks and you go to looking at flowers, and they say, "No, that ain't what you need. This is what you need, Milton." And that's a way right there of helping. That's a way of helping. Instead of some places you might go to another store and they try to give you the worst of everything in the flower ring. But you never know who you're helping when you do the right things that God has placed on your heart. So once again, as I go to my seat, I hope that I've said something that will make a difference in somebody's life, that whenever you get ready to go out into this world, don't be selfish with the talent that God has given to you. Because just like he gave it to you, he can also take it away. When you shut your eyes for the last time, let you feel within yourself that you're going to a place where the streets are paved with gold, you know, where you get to see your loved ones. Somebody asked me, what do you want to do when you get to heaven? I want to take off my shoes. I want to take off them old shoes and walk around heaven all day. You know, I love to sing, but I want to hear the angels sing, men. I want to sit back and listen. But just the fact that I want to see my mother, I want to see my father, but most of all, I want to hear my Savior say, "Milton, come on up. You're done. You're well done." And that's what I'm working forward to. And I hope I'll never be in the category of robbing my Savior. Thank you.